Heavenly Father, I am a weak man, and I am in need of your power, your strength today, this morning, and I pray that you would open my lips, my mouth would proclaim your praise, that I would be able to preach your word, and we would all have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say to us today. We pray this all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. So, a few weeks ago, Father Benji shared the central thesis of the letter to the Ephesians. Now, as you know, we are going through a series in the letter to the Ephesians, the epistle to the Ephesians, and that's still going on today. A few weeks ago, Father Benji really shared that the main thrust behind Ephesians is actually kind of, there's two parts to it. The first portion of Ephesians is really kind of a Super Bowl commercial for what God himself has done in Jesus. How Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and through the cross, through his blood, he has redeemed us. He has conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil, the powers and principalities. He has made us alive with him, raised us up, redeemed us, and seated us high above the fallen powers. And that in Christ, he is creating a new humanity where Jew and Gentile are reconciled. There's a new group of people, a new creation within Christ that he has created. This is the Super Bowl ad. It's really, really glorious and incredible. The second part of the letter to the Ephesians is kind of the owner's manual of how this is lived out in the day-to-day life. In particular, this is the main thesis right here. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together in every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We, as the body of Christ, as the community of Christ, are being built up into him, the head. He is our he's our cornerstone, that we are being crafted into a beautiful temple. Last week, the focus was on, okay, so what does it mean for us, all of us individual parts, to be working properly? How do we play a role in this drama? So if we think about it, the letter to the Ephesians is like a drama. There's this incredible narrative of what Christ has accomplished, and he has. But then we are enveloped into it. We're brought into this drama. We've been given scripts, roles that to play, and we're called to act this out. And Jesus is our blueprint. He is the model. He is the archetype type that we're called to live into. And today in Ephesians chapter 5, we are called to imitate Christ, to imitate him. That our lives are called to reflect him. Now, more than though just a drama, it's not like we are playing make-believe or pretend. No, God has truly brought us into union with Christ through faith and baptism. We are immersed with Jesus. The old part of us has died. We are made new, and therefore we're called to live into Christ, who we are united with. We're called to imitate Christ in two ways in particular in Ephesians 5. To walk in Christ's love, and to walk as the light of Christ into the world. So please join me in Ephesians chapter 5 in your pew Bible or in your Bible that you've brought. Ephesians 5 chapter 1, or verse 1 rather. We hear this. St. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Again, last week, the emphasis was actually on putting off the old man. There, since we had been brought into this and we are growing into Christ, Since we are made new, therefore, put off the old man. Put off the way that you used to be. We must no longer walk as the pagans do in the futility of their minds. And we're told last week, we were told a lot of things we're not supposed to do. Father Ben said, live not by lies. But that's one aspect of what we're called to put off. We're called to let not the sun go down on our anger. Let thieves no longer steal. Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. Not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away bitterness, wrath, and anger. Put these things away because they are part of the old man, who you used to be. Today we're called to put on Christ in imitation. That's what the therefore is there for. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we're called to walk in love as Christ. That's the first thing of imitating Christ, is to walk in love as Christ did. What this is saying is it's not like literal walking, but living out a lifestyle of biblical love. The first thing we need to learn about biblical love is it's Trinitarian. Love comes from God in his nature. In 1 John chapter 4, we hear in verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's essential to who God is. It's love. But then St. John, who's writing this, explains and clarifies just a little bit more what that means. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God has always existed. Within God is a community of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from all eternity past into all eternity future. That's what this means. And this is predominantly made manifest through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's what love means. And so, and St. Paul today is not making this up. In fact, this is what Jesus says in John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Imitate Christ's love. That's Jesus' command. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus' vision for love that he himself lives out is self-sacrifice. It's self-sacrifice. Thankfully, St. Paul, today, after calling us to walk in love, gives us a counterexample, a foil that is the opposite of biblical Trinitarian sacrificial love. And he says this in verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure that this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So that's a thick section. There's a lot that could be said there, but I want to boil it down to one thing, that word coveting. Because I think that that is the opposite of biblical self-sacrificial love, is coveting, which is a self-gratifying, curved inward desire. Coveting is the last of the Ten Commandments. It's, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, which encompasses lust, and then you shall not covet your neighbor's house, which is greed. But really what it's pointing to is an inward, disordered passion, a curved inward desire. St. Paul talks about this, St. Augustine, rather, calls this incurvitas in se, or being curved in on oneself. It's a self-gratification, a self-obsession, a disordered focus inward rather than outward. And actually, St. Paul today tells us that this is kind of the driving force behind idolatry. And elsewhere, he seems to think this is the driving force behind all kind of sin. You see, when we, in our natural state, want to seek after false gods, it's in service of our inner appetites, our inner disordered desires. Now, this opposite or inversion of love, which is a self-gratifying desire, you know, it's really confusing in the modern world because in some ways our modern definition of love looks a little bit like that. You know, we haven't forgotten, there's in some sense in which we haven't forgotten what love is supposed to be like. I mean, we use phrases like, I love you. We talk about things that we love, but oftentimes the emphasis is on the I in that phrase nowadays. So when someone says, I love you, oftentimes they're saying, you make me feel good. Well, who's that in service of? And I'll give you one other example, and that's modern wedding vows. So if you go back into history, and I mean, many of you have probably seen this in movies, when you hear the historic Christian wedding vows, the Anglican Christian wedding vows, which is, I vow to love and to cherish in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Now, that's the SparkNotes version, but that comes from the Book of Common Prayer. Nowadays, we hear, I vow to love you as long as love shall last. Well, you just better hope you don't have a bad day, because then it all goes out the window. But, I mean, it's all in service of our own self-gratifying desires. I mean, you see that in contrast with the two. We're called, in contrast to that, to love the way Christ loved, in self-sacrifice. In fact, St. Paul is calling us to have a Christ mindset. If we're thinking about that analogy of acting, it's being a method actor, to kind of think like Christ would, to get ourselves in the right mindset as Christ has. And it's a mind focused outwardly, not inwardly. And elsewhere in Scripture, St. Paul says that. Now, he doesn't use the term love, but he gives a lot of advice here that amounts to focusing on others, loving others, and not being so self-focused. Philippians 2, verse 3, we hear St. Paul say, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." That's an outward focus. "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." And I want to point this out. It's not, St. Paul isn't saying like, oh, think low of yourself. Like, oh, I'm just such an awful person, or I'm worthless. That's still like focusing inward. That's still focusing on yourself. The whole thrust is to look out at others, to care for them, to love them. And St. Paul says, have this mindset among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being born in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus Christ, true God from true God, humbled himself in obedience and love of the Father and love for everybody, for us and for our salvation, to the point of dying on a cross. That should be our mindset, our loving mindset. That should infect our mind like a virus. It should motivate our thinking. So St. Paul is saying, have the Christ mindset of walking in love in your mind. Think this way. And I don't do that perfectly. But we could ask ourselves, what does it look like to walk in love towards other people? To lay down our self-obsessed conceit or our self-obsessed insecurities and focus on the good and well-being of other people, sometimes even at the expense of ourselves. What would it look like to walk in love towards others? So this is what St. Paul has in mind when he says, walk in love as Christ loved us. To have a Christ mindset. So we can imitate Christ by putting on the mindset of Christ. But he also is focused on outward action. On being light. And St. Paul says, walk as children of light. In Ephesians 5, verse 8. It's to live out a Christ characteristic in our life. that shines like light, glorifying our Father. Throughout the Holy Scriptures, we see light as a descriptor of both goodness. And in our modern world, we think of, you know, good versus evil, being light versus dark. If you've seen the Star Wars, you think that. But in addition, it also, in the Holy Scriptures, really talks about knowledge or clarity. To really know is to be enlightened, for God to have enlightened our hearts. And to be in the dark is to live out ignorance and sin. Now, we learn through Scriptures that God is light. In fact, we hear in 1 John 1, verse 5, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. He is pure good. He is pure knowledge. But St. Paul told us earlier in Ephesians that we are enlightened, and the eyes of our hearts have been enlightened to know the hope that is in Christ. And last week, we were told not to be like we were when we were pagans in the futility of the pagan's mind, because they are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God, and that was us. But now we've been enlightened. That's the idea. We're called to do more than just be enlightened. We're called to live that out. In fact, St. Paul today says, once you were darkness, but now you are light. And he tells us to be who you are. He's telling us to be who we are, to be light. And the first part of doing that is to turning away from the darkness, turning away from it. He says, do not become partners with them. At one point, you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Don't participate in the dark, in sin, but expose it. Meaning the sin that's in our heart, we're called to expose that to the Lord, to one another. This is called confessing our sin. And what this does is it neutralizes its power. Sin no longer has power or a grasp over us. Because light, when light meets darkness, light always wins. I do not have water up here, so if I cough again, forgive me. When light shines in the darkness, light always wins. Think about it this way. If you are in a basement and it's really, really dark, you might say evil, scary, and unknown. It feels like the darkness has enveloped you. But if you turn on a light, it's not like the light and the darkness have to duke it out or anything like that. When light comes on, darkness literally vanishes immediately, evaporates. And when we bring our sin into the light, it no longer has power. We are forgiven. We experience the forgiveness of God. In verse 13, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. No longer has power over us. So we're called to turn from darkness, exposing it, so that it no longer has power over us. But St. Paul also says to walk in the light, to walk as children of light. Again, we are light. Once we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And our outward actions are called to reflect that, our new place with God in the light. And this is what we see in verse 9. The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And we, now having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, try to discern, to know what is good, what is pleasing to the Lord. The Holy Spirit in us helps us to know the good, the true, the beautiful, and to live it out. And if ever we have any question, we can always go back to the Holy Scriptures. But we're called to learn the good, to think on these things, as St. Paul says elsewhere in the Holy Scriptures. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 4, we hear, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mill it over in our head. Truly consider it. If you know of the incredible love of another person, like the bishop in the play Les Mis, or the example of valor of a soldier who's laid down his life for his friends in almost a Christ-like sort of a way. Think on these things. Think on these incredible character qualities. But more than that, live it out. Embody it. St. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We're called to put this in action. And elsewhere, Jesus says that when we shine our light before men, we glorify the Father through our own good works. This is what Jesus says in Matthew. Yeah. Thank you. Leah Kramer, everybody. Yeah. Jesus says this in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Remember, Jesus tells us he is the light of the world. We learn that God is light and in him is no darkness. But he says here, you, my disciples, you are the light of the world. And then he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. We display the light of Christ through our outward good works. And this isn't in contradiction with, you know, being saved by grace through faith. In fact, that's what we hear in Ephesians 2. We've been by grace we've been saved through faith, not of works, so that no one would boast. But how does it go afterwards? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is what it means to live out, to walk as light of Christ. And we can ask, how can I walk as light? We have to ask two different things. How have I fallen short of God's will? How have I partnered with darkness? Or have I kept anything in the dark and hidden? Specifically, have I kept anything from God? We need to confess to him and to one another, and we will be healed. As St. John says in 1 John, am I living out the good, the true, the beautiful? It's the other question. Do my outward actions glorify God so that others would see my behavior and glorify my Father? It's not about ourselves, it's about him, glorifying him. Remember, Jesus is light, and we're called to imitate him by walking as light. I'm not a fan of those little bracelets that say, what would Jesus do? Because honestly, we don't exactly know what Jesus would do in every individual situation. Like, how would Jesus cook this rice or whatnot? But it's still a good question to have in our minds because we're called to imitate Christ and to think, you know, how could I imitate Christ in this scenario? We're called to have the mindset of Christ, to love others, but also we're called to embody outward actions as Christ, like light shining before men. Remember what Christ has done for us. His redemption, the blood shed on the cross, our forgiveness, the defeat of the powers, and the renewed humanity he has created in his own body, and the fact that we are invited into that. Remember how he has made you alive and raised you above all the powers, the principalities, the spiritual forces of darkness and evil. You have been remade. The old you is dead, and we're called to put on the new you, made after the likeness of Christ. To put on Christ by imitating him in love and light. Brothers and sisters, let selfless, outward-focused, sacrificial love drive your interest and care for others. Let the goodness and light of Christ pierce your life and shine through your own outward actions, your good works. the Son of the Father, the one who has saved, raised, churched, like brought you into his body, and is currently building you up. Imitate him through love and light. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.